Let her go.
Well, good Friday morning, and welcome to your weekly high school sports roundup. It is The Baseline on KGY, live from our own waterfront studios, where we've been serving the community for 100 years. Can you believe that? I am Noel Wall, along with Olympian Prep contributor Dave Weber. And on today's show, Rainier's Jeremiah Nubby leads the nation. He is a discus thrower in high school, and we're going to hear about that as we get into spring sports like baseball, fast pitch, and more. As the days get longer and the seasons get underway, and spring is really only 3 or 4 days away, something like that. Dave, you have been working on feature stories outlining the boys and girls all-area basketball recognition. We're going to hear about that later.
Yeah, that came out in this morning's paper, both the boys and the girls, so not scooping anybody to talk about it. And some interesting things that happened on the way to those awards for the two who got the players of the year.
Yeah, and we will hear from the players, and we will hear from their coaches, and the Olympia and Beyond Sports Commission's annual sports awards nominations are open. It is a nearly annual event, of course, due to COVID, like so many other things, but like the sporting events themselves, the big banquet and awards ceremony is returning for the fifth time, and we are going to hear about that a little bit later on. We got a whole lot to talk about, and let's go ahead and jump into spring sports, and we'll start with the small schools, and Dave, Pope John Paul II.
Yep, the Eagles opened up their baseball season by run-ruling their crosstown rival, Northwest Christian, 10-0 on Wednesday at the RAC. It's notable because next season, or next academic year, Northwest Christian is going to drop fully down to 1B and join Pope John Paul. They'll probably be in the same league, etc. So always interesting when they match up, and Pope John Paul seems to have the edge in baseball right now. They will host Quilcene this afternoon at 4 p.m. Also out at the Regional Athletic Complex. We were just talking off the air about how popular that place is.
Yeah.
For competition at all levels, and high school's jumping right in and on it. And they have a softball team too now, JP2. They have not opened yet. They will play at the RAC on Tuesday against Concordia Christian. That game will be at 3 p.m. And the team that people usually look for when it comes to Pope John Paul, their track and cross country teams, track will open up with a regular season SeaTac League meet when they just kind of gather and have a meet, but it's not for the championship. That will be Thursday up at Franklin Pierce at 3:15.
Well, that's fantastic. In a school like Pope John Paul II, if you've got a baseball team, a softball team, and a track team, you got just about everybody involved.
Yeah, there's not as many students as there are there. And it's really interesting, too. By now, I don't know how many people that don't go to John Paul or aren't affiliated with it realize this, but by this point in history, that was supposed to be a regular size big high school. There was some land donated up in the area where Cabela's is, and the developer kind of hit the skids, and all the things he was trying to do, both profit and nonprofit, came to an end. And so they're still, restricted to a much smaller campus. But it's, as it's been shown, they are able to compete in at least a couple of sports very well.
Yeah, well, the support is there. And move on to their, I guess, league mates next year, Northwest Christian.
Yeah, I mean, it's a terrific rivalry in the brewing, if you ask me. I mean, you're talking about less than 2 miles apart. Northwest Christian is up there where the little clutch of hotels is on Martin Way, and then right down by St. Martin's, not all that far away, is Pope John Paul. So close by schools, both private schools based in different forms of Christianity, and it's just a ready-made rivalry.
But yes, it is.
Northwest Christian has not played another baseball game. They only lost that one to Pope John Paul. They have a 3 p.m. game Tuesday against visiting Forks, also at the RAC. Softball has yet to open up for them. They had a track meet yesterday, and it's kind of interesting. They came in last place out of 5 teams in both boys and girls, but a lot of that comes to the effect that they are only really fielding people in running events, and used to be mostly the longer events. Now they have some in the shorter events, but they do really well on the track, but they don't have a lot of field to back that up. So they don't always finish high as a team, but they have some good individuals. And that was the case in this meet, as Asher Ingram won the boys 800. Michaela Lanham claimed the girls 200 and the 400, and Hannah Livingston won both the 800 and the 3200 in that meet. I believe it was, yeah, it was at El Waco.
Well, it sounds like they're successful where they were entered, so that's important.
Yep, that's it. Their percentage of success is probably high, but they don't always enter everything.
All right, well, somebody who probably has a lock on at least one field event are the Rainier Mountaineers.
Well, they do. They had a great meet yesterday, and they had a similar kind of a meet where they cobbled together a few of the local schools. Not a championship, not really big enough to be a big invite, but the biggest news coming out of that, of course, Jeremiah Nubby, who is bound for the University of Texas after this season. He hurled the discus 205 feet, 2 inches. And as of this moment, that leads the nation by 16 feet. So we saw last year with both Jeremiah and Ethan Coleman, the stellar distance runner from Olympia, that those leads tend to go back and forth by the time the season's over. But, you know, if I'd ever been able to say I was the best in the country at something, even for a week, I'd have been happy. So,
yeah.
You know, Jeremiah, he's the real deal. He's somebody that you might see down the road in the Olympics or what have you. So great to see him do that right off the bat in the first meet. He also won the shot put at 52 feet, 4.5 inches. Dylan Davis won the 1600 for Rainier. I think I'm going to leave these marks out because we've got so many results that unless it's a really stellar mark, I'm just going to talk about who won. Ryan Dodge, I'm going to mention his mark. He cleared 12 feet even to win the pole vault. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
Thomas Ronnie won the long jump for the Mountaineers. Chase McFarland, the triple jump. And on the girls' side, Selena Niemi, who we've talked about a lot over the last couple of years, she's been one of their stellar runners. She got the distance sweep, which is not that easy to do. It's probably easier to do in a small high school meet than it would be in a collegiate meet or something, but still, you got to get out there three times at different distances and win the 800, 1600, and 3200 on the same afternoon. So,
sweet.
Very impressive job by her. Let's see some other winners for them. Autumn Kenny won the shot put. Isabella Holmes, transitioning from basketball, quickly won the discus. For the girls, Acacia Murphy was first in the high jump. And switching to the diamond, baseball opened up 0-3. They got swept in a doubleheader by Cross Point and then lost to a larger school in Black Hills. They'll play tomorrow at Yelm, another large school, at 12 noon. And softball beat North Thurston 7-1, so they beat a bigger school. And they will travel to Mossy Rock today for a 4 p.m. game.
All right, I want to go back to that discus throw for just a moment. You said 205, is that right?
205 feet, 2 inches.
So yep. If I'm standing at the goal line, that's a 60-yard-plus throw.
Oh, yeah, it's a long way. It gets real small real fast when somebody throws that and you're standing there watching it. So, and the thing is, it's so far and away better than what the other kids are doing out there. I'm sure if that's a collegiate meet, he might have a chance to win, but it would just be kind of a good throw. But, you know, he won that meet yesterday by 80-some feet.
Wow.
A lot of the kids that won the discus in different meets yesterday around 100 feet, 105, 110. So just an outlier for high school. Just really a good throw.
All right. Absolutely incredible. Look forward to hearing more about him as the year goes on. Moving up to 1A and Tenino.
Yeah, Tenino had a couple of baseball games already. They split them. They lost 10-9 to their Scatter Creek rival Rochester on the road. And then they came home to edge Toledo 4-3. They're going to travel out to Goldendale tomorrow. It's kind of a long ways, but they're going to play the host Goldendale team and also Zilla in 11 and 1 o'clock games. And
wow.
Then come on back, I guess. And in softball, they're also 1-1. They blasted Toledo 16-5 at home before being shut out at Castle Rock 3-0. In the Toledo game, they broke loose for 12 runs in the fourth inning, and that triggered the mercy rule in that sport. Courtney Backman blasted a grand slam, and Emily Baxter struck out 7 of the Red Hawks to get the win. And they are home to Centralia today at 4 o'clock. Soccer got off to a start. First team we mentioned that has soccer. The other three schools we talked about don't have a boys soccer team. But Tenino is 1-2. They beat Owako, but then they lost to Rochester and Winlock. And they will host Hopewell tonight at 7 p.m. And in track and field, Tenino finished in the middle of the pack in both the boys and the girls in a 16 meet at Montesano yesterday, but they didn't have any individuals win. And we are pressed for enough time that we don't get too far into anybody that didn't win. So.
All right. Well, and that is true, as there is so much to cover as the morning goes on. We are just getting started. We'll be right back in a moment with more baseball, fast pitch, and the other spring sports. Later, Dave's going to give us a rundown on the All-Area Awards winners, and we're going to hear from the Players of the Year for basketball, boys and girls in high school. We'll also hear from their coaches. You can see the full article in the Olympian. One of them came out today. The other one will come out in a couple of days. You are listening to The Baseline on 95.3. It's Olympia's original, KGY.
KGY South Sound Traffic.
We have an incident in Tacoma on the on-ramp of I-5 heading north from the 16 Exchange, creating extensive traffic. Also in Tacoma, on the on-ramp of 705 northbound, a collision is producing a buildup. From Lakewood to Puyallup on 512 eastbound, you will experience intermittent delays. That's the latest from Southside Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Seves.
Sponsored by Staples Stores. Staples Print and Marketing Services help small businesses print big with wide format signs and banners. Right now, get $10 off custom printed signs, banners, and posters when you spend $50 or more. Offer ends 3/26. Visit staples.com/signage for details. Staples, the working and learning store.
Business banking made personal and easy. It's Timberland Bank's way to take the time to find solutions and services for your business. And as simple as opening a business account online. We provide cash management and merchant services, remote deposit, payment processing solutions, and of course, business loans, complete with fast, local support. It's what we do, so let's do it for you.
Banking made easy. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Timberland Bank, how can we help you?
Is that ankle of yours not feeling quite right, or that nagging knee bringing you down? Don't ignore these warning signs waiting until more damage is done. At FASA Family Wellness Physical Therapy, we are here to help you. Our staff is caring, compassionate, and committed to doing everything we can to get you back to feeling better than ever. Call 360-754-FEET to book your appointment today.
Helping you put your best foot forward.
From Olympia, your TVW update. What's happening in state government? Politics, policy, and law.
This week is National Sunshine Week, promoting open government and public access to information. On a special episode of TVW's Inside Olympia, host Austin Jenkins sat down with longtime politics and government reporter Essex Porter, who recently retired from Seattle's Cairo 7 News.
So Essex, let me just start with what Sunshine Week prompts for you, or the concept of open government or shining a light on government. What does that prompt for you?
That prompts for me the idea that government belongs to us and answers to us. We can't get those answers unless we know what government is doing, how decisions were made, who influenced decisions, what was considered as decisions were made.
Porter grew up in the Midwest and went to journalism school at the University of Nebraska. His impressions of Washington State.
The one thing I have learned about Washington State is that Washington State's constitution was really created by people who didn't trust concentrations of government power. So the government power is dispersed throughout our constitution. We have so many more government jurisdictions than many other states.
Porter says that wide distribution of power can mean government in Washington has a hard time responding quickly to critical issues. For example, homelessness.
TVW on statewide cable, online at tvw.org, on Roku, and the TVW mobile app.
Do it yourself? Since 1955, Cut Rate Auto Parts has been making it easier. From expert advice to a huge selection of parts at discount prices to their AutoBox Rewards program, they're there for you. DIY is even easier with Cut Rate's Do-It-Yourself Plus. They'll help you hook up a new battery, test your alternator, install your new windshield wiper blades, or diagnose what that check engine light needs. Great prices, great value, and a little help with Do-It-Yourself Plus. Do it with them today at Elma, Aberdeen, Shelton, or Lacey, or check out CutRateAutoParts.com.
Cut Rate Auto Parts.
We got your part.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
95.3 KGY. Welcome back. You are with Dave Weber and me, Noel Wall, on the Baseline, KGY Zone and Thurston County's only high school sports roundup show. And hear us every week thanks to sponsors like Choice Regional Health Network, your partner for community health and services. Also, McKinney's Appliance with Maytag and Whirlpool Appliances to make your life easier. McKinney's Appliance on Martin Wayne Lacey and on Olympia's West Side. And today we're kind of opening up the spring season and taking a look at kind of everything that's going on. And Dave, there's an awful lot as we move up to 2A and the Rochester Warriors.
Yeah, this is the biggest time of the year for high school sports, not in terms of focus. People tend to follow football and basketball more, but you talk to the high school ADs, this is the time of year it just drives them nuts trying to travel five or six teams around the area all at once. It's really, really a hectic time. And yeah, Shelton started out their baseball season with a nice win over Capital, 3A school, beat them 8-2. Cannon Hudson and Cole Schneider both doubled in that game, while leadoff batter Terrell Stewart drove in a pair of runs. And they're going to host another 3A school, North Thurston, today at 4. So something tells me the Climbers think they're pretty good if they scheduled up in the preseason.
Yeah.
In softball, Shelton is 1-1. They lost their opener to North Mason by a 7-1 count. Then they got into an absolute slugfest with Lakes and ended up winning it 18-16. And in that game, leadoff batter Allison Baumgart went 3-for-3. She had a pair of triples, drove in 6 runs. Left fielder Samantha Drywater was 2-for-3. She had a triple as well, drove in 4 runs. And they will host Rochester today at 4 o'clock. And I magically did not write down anything about their soccer team, so I apologize for that. That's an error on my part. But in track and field, they lost both ends of a Wednesday dual meet to the host school WF West. Caden Pearson was a double winner for the Climbers. He won the 100 and the 200. And they had another double winner, and Anthony Warren Kaisers won the shot put and the discus. So, as usual, Shelton's got a few quality athletes in track, but it looks like maybe they don't have as much depth as they did lose the dual meet. But they do have some good individuals per usual.
All right. And Rochester, what do we know about them?
Well, they are 1-1 in baseball. They beat Tenino, as we mentioned earlier, and then they lost to Mark Morris. They'll be hosting Montesano today at 4:30. Softball also 1-1. They lost to Adna and beat Hoquiam 5-1. Adna, we talk about Adna, and they usually end up, looks like, how are they beating these bigger schools? But they are they're a little athletic powerhouse tucked down there in Adna. It's not like a loss to Adna is automatically means anything bad for a bigger school. And in that 5-1 win they got over the Grizzlies, Lakota Eskett had 2 hits. She drove in 3 runs. Cheyenne Justice tripled and singled. And they will host Shelton this afternoon at 4:30. Soccer, usually a little bit better than this, but they're 1-3 to start. They beat Tenino, and then they lost to WF West, Evergreen, and Graham Kapausen. It's kind of an odd matchup there between a 4A school from Puyallup and Rochester.
But yeah,
it did show up on the schedule, and they lost it. They travel to Black Hills tonight at 7:30. And there was a double dual meet in track yesterday, and the Warriors kind of split that. They competed against Black Hills and Centralia's boys, but they lost both of the girls' meets. Talon Betts for the boys won the 100 and the 200. Not a surprise. He's always been a fast kid and notable for football, of course. And on the girls' side, Emily Weddle was throwing things pretty far, won the shot put and the discus.
All right. Moving on to Black Hills and the Wolves.
Black Hills off to a great start in baseball. They've beaten Rainier and Elma to go 2-0. And they have a 2-game EVCO series with their cross freeway rivals Tumwater on Tuesday and Wednesday. We've seen this a little bit more where rather than split the home and away games way out, the schools will play each other back-to-back, one at each site. They do that in the 3A South Sound Conference as well, so it makes it more like big league ball, I guess, when you're playing a series against the opponent. Softball got handed a pretty hard loss, 13-1, but they were playing 4A Olympia, which is also a pretty good 4A school. Madison Parker drove in the Wolves' only run in that game, and they will host Aberdeen on Monday at 4:30. Soccer is winless so far. They lost to Pullman and Evergreen of Vancouver. They will host Rochester tonight at 7:30. Talked about the same double dual meet in track and field. Black Hills swept the boys and the girls teams from Central and Rochester yesterday. Austin Emslin was the double winner for the Wolves boys. He won the shot put and the discus. And on the girls' side, Olivia Hesaw won the 300 hurdles and also threw the javelin the farthest. So a couple of double winners for the Wolves.
All right, very good. Well, the fall and the winter teams for Tumwater set the bar pretty high. Are the spring teams going to achieve like those other teams did? I don't know if that's fair.
Well, I think they probably, as usually eventuates, yes, they will. Last year, of course, Tumwater baseball team was the district's runner-up, the rare playoff that actually happened under the pandemic conditions. They had the district tournament, no state, but they came in second by a narrow loss to WF West, and they started out this year with a 4-3 home victory over 4A Union, so not a bad victory there. And they traveled today to Prairie for a 4 p.m. game this afternoon, so another school from a larger classification. They played really well last year. No reason they shouldn't schedule up. They've got some people back, Ryan Orr, their great pitcher from last year. Just some other guys, too. I'm not going to try to get into it now, but some really good players for Tumwater, so they should do well. Softball is usually pretty good as well. They opened their season this afternoon with a 4:30 game against Capital. Meanwhile, soccer is usually a pretty good team, but they lost a couple of games. They were 1-2 to start, but they played Olympia twice and Camas. And again, that whole thing at Tumwater, they're playing up there. Those are all 4A schools, those three games against 4A schools.
Yeah.
So who knows how they'll do when they open up their EVCO season tonight out at Aberdeen. I'm betting they do a little bit better than they did against Olympia and Camas. So I think they're preparing themselves like they normally do by playing really good teams, regardless of classification. So,
yep, that's the way you get better.
Yep. And speaking of Aberdeen playing against Tumwater in track and field, there was a dual meet between the teams earlier this week on Wednesday, and Mackie Odoms was the double winner for the T-Bird boys, won the long jump and the triple jump. And for the girls, Olivia Ahrens took both the 800 and the 1600. And Alyssa Duncan, who people probably remember was a volleyball MVP for them, she tripled, winning the shot put, the long jump, and the triple jump.
Wow.
So, yeah, she's always been good track and field as well as volleyball, and certainly came through against the Bobcats.
All right. Very good. Well, hey, there's another segment out of the way this morning, and don't go away. We've got more because coming up next, 3A and 4A. Later, a look at the all-area basketball winners and, of course, the Olympia Area Sports Commission, I should say, bringing the awards back. Nominations are open. We'll hear more about that. But first, a look at traffic, weather, and a word from our sponsors. You're listening to The Baseline on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
You have an incident in Tacoma on the on-ramp of I-5 heading north from the 16 Exchange, creating extensive traffic. Also in Tacoma, on the on-ramp of 705 northbound, a collision is producing a buildup. From Lakewood to Puyallup on 512 eastbound, you will experience intermittent delays. That's the latest from Southside Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Seves.
Olympia's KGY, where your good friends are.
Since 1922, the South Sound has listened to KGY, and we want to listen to you. This year, KGY is celebrating its 100th birthday, and we want to know what your KGY memories are. Do you have any old memorabilia laying around that you would like to share with us? We're talking audio recordings, photos, stickers, flyers, and other collectibles. Maybe you've worked here, or you know somebody who has worked for KGY. We just want to hear from you. Let us know how KGY has impacted your life by going to KGYFM.com and clicking on the KGY 100th birthday link today.
If you have COVID-19 tests at home, you've probably wondered, when should I use them? Sometimes are better than others. If you have COVID symptoms, take a test. If you've had an exposure but no symptoms, wait 5 days to test. If you want to be sure you don't have COVID before meeting up with others, test as shortly beforehand as possible. That's all there is to it. Just follow the directions in the package. To learn more, visit doh.wa.gov/testing. A message from the Washington State Department of Health.
Okay, let's have a serious discussion. You got hurt on the job, and now you can't work. Or maybe you were in a crash, and it wasn't your fault. Now you're dealing with an insurance company. You're losing wages, and the medical bills are piling up. Will the insurance money last as long as your pain and disability? What if medical bills pop up down the line that you didn't foresee? Who's going to pay for that? Another thing, did you read the fine print? Did it make any sense at all? Maybe it's time to get a good law firm, one that's limited its practice to victims of workplace injuries and car accidents for over 40 years. A firm like Putnam Lee Potvin Daly, Catherine Potvin, Dustin Daly, and Laura Federko. They know what they're doing. So much so, they've been awarded honors as super lawyers and best lawyers of America. They're on your side. They'll fight for you to make things right. Don't be bullied by insurance companies. That's just adding insult to injury. Call award-winning attorneys Putnam Lee Potvin Daly today at 800-225-4529 or check PUTNAMLIEB.com.
Is that the sound of an ooey gooey cheesy crunchy slice of pizza? Obviously, but as good as that sounds, we think it can get even better. Oh yeah, that's the sound of a freshly opened fizz-filled Pepsi. The only thing that can take this flavor medley of crunchy dough, mouth-watering cheese and savory sauce to the next level. How about another bite? Pepsi and pizza sound like a match made in heaven and taste even better. Pizza, better with Pepsi. That's what I like.
Cloudy with a chance of morning rain before picking up during the afternoon. Highs in the low to mid-50s with mild breezes. Rain is likely tonight and tomorrow. Overnight lows in the mid-40s.
Let her go.
And we are back with the Baseline, Thurston County's high school sports roundup show. You are with Dave and Noel, and thanks to sponsors like Putnam Lieb, Putnam Daily, Potvin Daily, taking the insult out of it. Boy, I botched that. Taking the insult out of injury, Premier Workers' Compensation and Car Accident Attorneys. Cut Rate Auto Parts, if you can't, I'm still messing them up. I must have rented lips this morning. If you can't part with your car, Cut Rate has your car's part. You can see them, Aberdeen, Elmo, Lacey, and Shelton. Melanie Bottling, also our local Pepsi distributor, and proud to support high school sports coverage on KGY, where we have miraculously made it all the way to 3A. And this, the opening days and week of spring sports. And we're up to River Ridge Hawks. Let's take a look at them.
Yeah, I just want to give you a little pat on the back there for bumbling a couple of those things you were trying to read. When I was a little kid, there was a car dealer in our area that spelled its name with all lowercase. And I was, oh, Dad, why would they do that? And he goes, because it's more noticeable. So the advertisers in those two bits might get more people to pay attention because your lips were rented today. You never know.
Okay.
So back to the Hawks, though. They got up to a 1-1 start in baseball. They had a home and away series like we talked about with Peninsula. They won one, lost one. And they will host Ferndale tomorrow in a non-league game at 2:30. And in softball, also 1-1, they beat Silas and lost to Kentwood. I wonder how long we have to go before I stop saying that Silas is the former Wilson. You think we're there
yet? It could be a while. I don't know. It takes me a moment every time.
Yeah, it really does. So next up, though, for the softball team at Ridge is a home game on Monday at 4 o'clock against Thomas Jefferson. Soccer is unbeaten, but in that soccer kind of way, they're 1-0-2.
Yeah.
They shut out Timberline 1-0, but tied Capital and Peninsula. So they haven't lost yet, but they left points on the table.
As they always say
when I'm watching Tottenham on TV, they left points on the table. But anyway, they play North Thurston on Monday night at South Sound Stadium, 7 o'clock game. And as will be the case, I won't say this over and over again, but all of the schools in the 3A South Sound Conference participated in jamborees earlier this week. But their first official meets where they go up against opponents and so forth will be later on next week. And then for Ridge, that means they will have a dual meet on Wednesday at Capitol.
Okay, over to North Thurston and the Rams.
Rams are 1-2 in baseball. They lost a very close 1-0 non-league game to Enumclaw. And then they split their 3A South Sound Conference Series with Gig Harbor. Both those games were pretty close. In an 8-5 win over the Tides on Wednesday, cleaning up hitter Brett Haggerty drove in 3 runs. On the softball diamond, they've only played once. They lost 7-1 to Rainier. And the Rams are 2-1 in soccer with wins over Yelm and Timberline. And they will... What am I talking about? It's my turn to have rendered lips. I wrote a bad sense on my script there. They just kind of flowed right into the track from the same sentence that I was talking about soccer, and I kind of threw myself off there. But Yelm and Timberline also are going to provide the foes for North Thurston in a 3-way track meet on Wednesday at South Sound Stadium. So that's where things stand with the Rams.
Okay, and we just mentioned Timberline, the Trailblazers. How are they doing?
They're doing wonderful in baseball. They are 3-0. They swept Yelm in the league series. Got a win over Curtis outside of the league, and they will play tomorrow. This is one where you may want to check with somebody that you know that's close to the teams, because Timberline lists a home-and-home doubleheader where they play at Olympia, then come back to play at their place later in the day tomorrow. Olympia only shows the one game at Timberline. So I'm not quite sure why that would be listed that way, because usually that website that lists the high school schedules, it's synced with each other, and that can't happen, but it's there. Yeah. But they are going to play Olympia tomorrow. Whether it's one game or two remains to be seen. Softball, bad news for the Blazers in softball. They're a good team, so I can get a little chuckle out of this without being too disrespectful, because I know they're going to come back and do well. But they lost their opener 20-3 to Emerald Ridge.
Ouch.
And yeah, that's got to hurt, as they say. But they are a good team, and they are going to score their share of runs before this thing's over with. And they will play a 6:30 p.m. game on Monday again at Gig Harbor. That'll be at Gig Harbor. So that's their next chance to get that Emerald Ridge game behind them. Soccer, only 1-3 right now. But their lone win came in their most recent game. 1-0 last night at home over Yelm. So hopefully that means that not if you're a fan of one of the other teams, but if you're a Blazers fan, hopefully that means they're on the right track. And they are going to host Tumwater in a 3 p.m. non-league game tomorrow.
Okay, and on to Yelm, Tornado.
Yeah, they're still looking for their first win in baseball. They lost a pair to Timberline, 9-5 and 18-3. They'll host Rainier tomorrow at noon. Softball, it's always one of the state's best 3A teams. They open up this afternoon at home against North Thurston at 3:30. Soccer, a little bit of a struggle to get any offense going. They've been blanked a couple of times. And they are going to have a Tuesday home game against Capitol will be their next outing. And the track and field team will open its official season Wednesday. I think we've already mentioned this meet. It'll be a 3-way with Timberline and North Thurston.
Okay, very good. And bringing it into town, talk about the Capitol Cougars.
Capitol Cougars are 1-2 in baseball. They lost to Shelton, and then they split a doubleheader with Central Kitsap. And in that 8-4 win over the other Cougars. Capital erupted for 6 runs in the bottom of the 6th to come from behind and win it. Caden Dawson and Karsten Hansen each drove in 2 runs. And on the mound, Nolan Lawn pitched a scoreless 2 innings of relief to get the win. Softball is 1-0 after a 12-2 victory over Lakes. If you're following closely here, you realize that Lakes doesn't put up a lot of defense as they were the victims of an 18-16 loss to, I think, Shelton, wasn't it? One of the other teams we've already talked about. And they will be at Tumwater today at 4:30. Boys soccer 0-1-1. They have a 2-2 tie with River Ridge and a 3-0 loss to North Thurston on their record. And they're going to host River Ridge on Wednesday to start the track and field season.
Okay, and up to 4A, still in town, the Olympia Bears.
Bears probably going to be really good in baseball this year. They've got a great pitching staff. They started out 1-0. They're starting off 1-0. Their only game so far, they beat Peninsula 9-2 against the Seahawks. Tabor Fast wrapped out 3 hits. Nickel drove in 3 runs, and Gabe Downing had 2 RBIs. And again, as I mentioned, they're going to play Timberline tomorrow. Their schedule showing just a single game at 2 o'clock. Timberline showing a game at Ole and one at Timberline. So if you're a fan of baseball, that's going to be a good matchup, but you're going to probably want to nail it down a little bit farther than we were able to this morning to figure out what's actually going on with where and when. Softball continuing with the undefeatedness so far out of Olympia. They are 2-0. They beat WF West and Black Hills. And WF West, as they say, is no slouch. That's a really good 2A program. And for the Bears to get a victory over them is more than just to get one over an ordinary 2A school. And next up for them, Graham Kapalson will come to town, play at Stevens Field, not on campus. That'll be a 5 p.m. game on Monday. And for soccer, they continue the theme. They're 2-0. They've won a pair of airtight games, 1-0 over Timberline and Tumwater. And Lewis and Clark will provide the opposition tonight when they travel to Olympia for a 6 p.m. soccer game. And track will open up at the Cardinal Invite in Orting tomorrow. So if you were following closely there, you'll see they are undefeated in the spring sports thus far at Olympia. So
that's right.
Could be some stuff going on over there. I mean, and it's not something where you go, oh, it's a fluke, because we know baseball is going to be good. We know softball is going to be good.
Yep.
And soccer could be good. So not that they're going to go undefeated for the remaining weeks of the season, but certainly a promising beginning for the 4A school in the area.
Yes, yes, it is. And bodes well for a lot of fun in the weeks to come as we continue to cover what is going on in high school sports in and around Thurston County. Don't go away. In our next segment, we're going to look at all area basketball recognition for boys and girls. We're going to hear from the boys and girls basketball players of the year and their coaches. Plus, nominations are open for the 2022 Sports Award. We'll hear about the Olympia and Beyond Sports Commission. All that coming up next. You are listening to The Baseline on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound Traffic.
You have an incident in Tacoma on the on-ramp of I-5 heading north from the 16 Exchange, creating extensive traffic. Also in Tacoma, on the on-ramp of 705 northbound, a collision is producing a buildup. From Lakewood to Puyallup on 512 eastbound, you will experience intermittent delays. That's the latest from Southside Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Seves.
Sponsored by Mattress Firm. Shop today at Mattress Firm to save up to $500 on a king bed for a queen price. Plus, get a free adjustable base with qualifying purchases. Don't forget, hot buys and immediate delivery, too.
Are we ready for a little fun? Yes, this is Rick Dees. I can't wait to meet you here this weekend. The weekly Top 40 Countdown is ready to go. Do we have some Dees sleeves for everybody?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're going to go out on a limb with the weekly Top 40 Sure Shot. You can win huge prizes.
I'm amazed.
The weekly Top 40 Countdown here this weekend. We'll see you.
Rick Dees Retro Top 40 this Saturday from 8 o'clock right here at Olympia's KGY.
You march to your own drum and no one else's. You need a car that gets you. The 2022 Kia Forte packs in everything you want. Advanced technology, sleek style, and state-of-the-art connectivity. Plus, 2.75% financing for up to 66 months. Drive your music in a new Kia Forte. Where will your Kia take you? Find yours at Hanson Kia in the Olympia Auto Mall and HansonKia.com.
Sales prices are plus tax on less than a negotiable $150 documentary service fee. Subject to credit approval by KMS. Offer ends 3/31/2022. See dealer for details.
Nothing brings the family together like a home-cooked meal. Let Whirlpool and Maytag appliances help you handle what the day brings. From smart cooking to dependable dishwashers, McKinney's Appliance has it all. With the largest selection of Whirlpool and Maytag appliances in the area, you're sure to find the perfect appliances for your cooking needs. Shop for the best appliances with the latest features at McKinney's Appliance today. McKinney's Appliance, serving Southwest Washington since 1972.
Extreme Auto Outfitters, formerly known as Linex Olympia. The same great staff and service with all the adventurous upgrades from top brands that your rig needs, including Linex. Window tinting, bed liners, canopies, custom jobs, and accessories. ARE and RSI Smart Cap available. Extreme Auto Outfitters has the products that perfectly fit your needs, budget, and lifestyle. When you need extreme, you need Extreme Auto Outfitters on Capitol Boulevard in Tumwater.
Is your first step in the morning painful? At the end of the workday, are your aching feet the only thing on your mind? At Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates, our orthotics are specially made devices designed to support and comfort your feet. Our doctors use orthotics to treat all kinds of foot and heel pain. If you have pain, make an appointment with a specialist here today. End foot and heel pain. Call 360-754-FEET.
Helping you put your best foot forward.
Sports fans, Spin Tees Screen Print and Graphics gives you the very best printing and embroidery. Perfect for teams, schools, companies, or special events. Get excellent quality, custom design, quick turnaround, and low pricing. Count on Spin Tees for quality brands like Port Authority, Sport Tech, and District Threads. Easy ordering and results you'll love. 1025 Black Lake Boulevard in Olympia, online at spinteesprints.com. Friends Spin Tees on Facebook.
You're always up for some fun with the family, so you order the essentials, a new board game, some baking supplies, and even a new projector for outdoor movie night. And with the Bank of America customized cash rewards credit card, you can choose to earn 3% cash back on online shopping, which could increase to up to 5.25% as a preferred rewards member. Rewards which you can put toward an extra treat that everyone will enjoy, like an old-fashioned popcorn machine. Visit bankofamerica.com/more rewarding and apply now. Copyright 2021 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, it's Deion Sanders. They call me Coach Prime now. You already know Walmart is your one-stop shop for all those game day essentials. Now, Walmart and Gillette Labs are teaming up to take your game day to the next level. You got to swing by the shave aisle to snag the new Gillette Labs razor and get that W, man.
The new Gillette Labs with exfoliating bar for a shave as quick and easy as washing your face.
Did you know that United Healthcare helps connect you to doctors and therapists with 24/7 access to virtual care?
So I could have therapy from my couch?
Yep.
Or a doctor appointment for my car?
If you wanted to.
Wait, you're right. I don't even like when people see me sing in the car. Couch appointment it is.
Virtual visits are just one of the ways United Healthcare helps connect you to better health. Learn more at UHC.com. Plan benefits may vary.
I'm Peter Greenberg, and this is today's Eye on Travel Minute. When it comes to flying in the back of the plane, let's face it, size does matter. It's not about how tall or wide around the waist you are, but the distance between the seat back in front of you and your knees. Not to mention the width of the seats. So which airlines have the most legroom? Well, don't look for the real budget carriers like Spirit, Frontier, or Ryanair to save the day. They can have as little as 29 inches of space. That's almost suffocating. But Southwest is at 32 inches between rows. American and United, 31 inches. And JetBlue wins with 34 inches. And that can make a real difference on flights longer than 2 hours. For more information, visit petergreenberg.com. I'm Peter Greenberg, and this is today's Ion Travel Minute.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more. libertymutual.com.
95.3 on the BSKGY.
Welcome back to Hoop Talk. Dave Weber and myself, Noel Wall. We're Hoop Talk for one more segment as we're going to talk about the all-area basketball teams. And Dave's been working on that. We are here thanks to sponsors like Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates, celebrating 20 years of helping patients get up and moving and maintaining good health. You can find them online at anklefoot.net. Also, Spin Tees Prints, they do excellent work. You can find Spin Tees at their new location behind Minuteman Press in West Olympia. Better yet, find them online at spinteesprints.com. And as I said, we're going to talk about baseball. Dave, you worked endlessly, hours on hours, I'm sure, putting together your feature articles for the Olympian. One of them came out this morning. The other one will come out Sunday, outlining the all-area boys and girls basketball teams. And do us a favor and let us in on the secret a little bit. Start with the girls.
Well, I don't know how secret it is. I think some of it was in today's paper, so that kind of takes the secret out of it.
I suppose.
But, yeah, the girls, good players and coach of the year from out the area. Jackie Meyer from North Thurston was our coach of the year for the girls. She did something you don't even see coaches, but I guess back in the early days of Title IX, you might have seen this more with the girls' coaches where one coach tried to do it all. She guided the Rams volleyball and basketball teams into the 3A state tournaments. Back-to-back sports seasons, just kept being good, and the basketball team advanced to state for the first time in 28 years. So good coaching job by her. We pick five players and then a player of the year on top of that for the first team. The first team players, Tay Birdtail from North Thurston, who is a senior guard who she's always been good, but this year she was the 3A South Sound Conference MVP and obviously one of the centerpieces of that North Thurston team that made it to the state for the first time in so long. Drea Brumfield from WF West, a school we don't often directly cover on this show, but the Olympian does. 6'2 senior forward bound for Pepperdine. She was the all-area player of the year last season, so you can see how good she is. Ashley Scow from Tenino. 6'1 senior bound for Central Washington University. Her and Drea, very similar players. They're tall, but they can operate, shoot some threes, operate in the mid-range, and go inside and post up. So a couple of really good bigs that came out of the area this year. A little bit shorter than them, but a little bit faster as well. Natalie Sumrock from Tumwater, 5'11 senior forward. She's going to Western Colorado to play, and she is a lightning bolt up and down the court, gets out on the front of the fast break for them, scores a lot of her points that way, but again, can also shoot it as well. So she scored over 1,000 points in her career. Ava Woolen from Olympia was another repeat member of the team, 5'9" senior guard. She was all South Puget Sound League South, and she's also holds the Olympia records for threes and is a, speaking of the spring sports, is a great track and field athlete at 200 and 400. And just really quickly running through the second team, Hannah Bershauer of Olympia, Faith Besh of Rainier, Isabella Lund of Tumwater, Soraya Algadez, somebody to really look at, a North Thurston freshman, extremely good player, and Lily Williams, a sophomore from Yelm. So mostly older kids, but a couple on that second team that are young and up and comers.
That's fun to watch as we move forward.
Of the year. Yes. Yeah. The player of the year was the co-MVP of the 2A Evergreen Conference along with her teammate, Natalie Sumrock. And that is Tumwater's Aubrey Amandala. She is going to play for a school that you say it now, people say, what's that? I've never heard of it because it doesn't exist yet. She'll be playing for Utah Tech, but she signed with Dixie State University, but they're changing the name. A lot of pressure there because of the Dixie reference in Utah. People weren't comfortable with that anymore. So the institution changing its name on July 1st to Utah Tech, and Aubrey will be headed there. She was first team All-2A EFCO four consecutive years. And this year, the T-Birds upset some powerhouses from 3A and 4A, only to see them not do as well as they'd hoped at the end, and in part because of a mysterious ailment that struck Aubrey at the last minute.
And these interview clips that I'm going to play don't include anything on that, so I would encourage you to go ahead and kind of tell people, I don't know if you want, sure, before or after, about, you know, what really happened with Aubrey.
Well, no, I'll just throw it out there. Might as well talk about it beforehand, because to their credit, her and her mom, Robin Johnson, the coach of Tumwater, didn't really want to talk about it. Not so much for, they wanted to talk about it when I talked to them about it, but before the games were played that she was affected by, they didn't want to make excuses. So there really wasn't a lot coming out of it at the time. But, you know, when you look back on it, yeah, why wasn't Aubrey out there in the second half against Burlington Edison? And that's because she had a very strange ailment strike her right before postseason, right before the state games, in which her feet swelled up and she had some lethargy and things. So really a disappointing end to how it, how they hoped it would be. However, also a plus in the sense that it highlighted her toughness. She came back to score 8 points in the first half of the regional round game before sitting down with the ailment, and then came back a few days later at state. And even though Tumwater lost the game, she scored 11 points in 26 minutes, had some steals and assists. Pretty tough kid, and that's going to hold her in great stead when she gets down there to St. George, Utah.
All right. And, you know, you mentioned this, and it's not super common, but it's also not uncommon to have a standout high school athlete coached by a parent. Happens a lot with football, happens with baseball, and in this case, Robin Johnson and Aubrey. And let's go ahead, we'll listen to that. Here is Robin Johnson talking about daughter and star player Aubrey Amadella.
I guess to start out with, you know, we've talked so much in the past about Aubrey taking up basketball because you were a coach and her following you around from gym to gym and so forth. How does it feel now, though, when you kind of come to the end of the line where you may not be coaching her ever again?
Yeah, it's been sad. I'll really miss her. It's been a really fun ride. I think that, you know, has its challenges, but overall, you know, I've really loved coaching her, and she brings so much to the court that both as a coach and a mom have really enjoyed our experience. So I'm, you know, really excited for her future, but it's been hard knowing that this was our last games that we'll be together.
When you look back to what you had first expected Aubrey to become as a player, how high she would reach or whatever, has she reached that expectation or surpassed it? Or when you first realized she was going to want to play and now she's off to college and so forth, how do you think that's worked out?
Yeah, because of her height, she's had a high IQ right at a young age and some natural ability. So I always knew that she had the potential to be a pretty good little basketball player. I think that over the years, she's put in more time than anyone would really know, as any athlete that reaches the Division I level does. So I think that I kind of all along, she's been on a track to have a successful career. And I think that I don't think that she's met her full potential yet as she continues to grow physically and mentally and emotionally as a player, but I think that she's hit all the timelines and come on at the right times and done just huge things in her basketball career. I think she hit her potential for where she's at currently this year, and that's been really fun to see her perform at a high level at a high school age.
What can she still do between now and I imagine they probably want her there for the summer, so in the next few months, what can she still do to get better?
Yeah, she has to leave the day after graduation, so that's been, wrapping my mind around that. Not a lot of time. That's only in a couple months, but she's really focused on lifting, getting bigger, getting stronger, and then continuing to, you know, her workouts and her shooting, continuing to build her skills, honestly, her individual skills, so when she steps in there that she's, you know, looking to make an immediate impact into the program.
Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks, Dave. Uh-huh. Bye.
Tumwater girls basketball coach Robin Johnson talking about the 2022 All-Area Basketball Player of the Year, and her daughter, Aubrey Amendola. Here's Aubrey.
So the question was, what are you still looking forward to doing better, either as you get ready to leave for college or when you first get there over the summer? What are the things you still need to improve on?
I need to definitely improve on everything, just as everybody needs to.
So nothing special, just your all-around game?
Yeah.
All right, so you're taking off, going all the way to Utah for college, and what's something that you're really looking forward to about being away from home and being in college? What do you look forward to?
I look forward to, honestly, just that, just being away from home and being on my own.
And what do you think you're going to miss the most about not being home?
Definitely my family, 100%.
All right, thanks for taking time. Appreciate it.
Yep, bye. Yeah.
Well, there she is. Aubrey Amendola, the female basketball player of the year. And she sounds like a fun girl there, Dave.
Yeah, she's pretty plain spoken. Doesn't wander with her answers at all. But you can tell she's pretty smart and thinking ahead to what she can do in college. You know, you mentioned about moms and dads coaching their kids. And nowhere has that been more of a factor than at Tumwater. Even in the most recent times, you've had in football, you have Tim Ottens, the defensive coordinator, and he has his son Ryan. He had his son Cade playing for him earlier. And of course, that goes back to Tim's dad, Sid Otten, being the football coach and having his sons play for him. Baseball, they now have Lyle Overbay, has been their coach for 1 year now. His son Alex is on the team. A couple of years ago, Tana Otten's daughter, Kennedy Croft, was our volleyball player of the year a couple of times, and she went off to play at Gonzaga, and that's the point at which Tana decided to resign so she could see more of Kennedy's college games. But they have constantly had sons and daughters playing for their coaches there, and it's worked out really well for everybody.
Yeah, yep. Okay, let's hear about the boys' team.
Yeah, the boys is a team that has a little bit more juniors on it. The whole girls' first team was seniors, and there's only one senior on the boys' first team. So we'll go through that real quickly. Luke Brewer, a 6'1 junior guard from Tumwater. He was the 2A Evergreen Conference Most Valuable Player. And had paced the Thunderbirds to fourth place in the state tournament, which was their highest finish at state in 46 years. So a good team, and he may have been the best player on it. There was a lot of good players, but maybe Luke stood out a little bit above the rest of them. Olympia had a couple of guys on the first team. First off was Andreas Engholm, who was a 6'7 junior forward. He was first team all 4A SPSL. And he was kind of in an unenviable position. People remember, obviously, Jackson Grant, who was the 6'10 center now at UW that Olympia had the last few years. And Andreas had definitely wanted to pattern himself and learn from Jackson. But on the same hand, when Jackson leaves and now you're the biggest guy out there on the court, you're kind of seen as replacing the great player. But he handled that very well, finished with the 15 points a game and 7 rebounds, had a big old long string of double-doubles in the midseason on into the playoffs, and just did extremely well in taking a leading role, and he's only a junior. Another junior from Olympia, Parker Garretts. He was the most valuable player of the 4A SPSL South, averaged 18 points a game to go with 5 rebounds and 5 assists, and he is a basketball IQ guy, too. He knows the game inside and out. His dad was a player and a coach, and followed in his footsteps. He has Division I offers already. Portland and the Montana among them. So yet another year for him. So it's going to be interesting to see how he develops. Miles Gursky from Timberline. He's a 6-foot junior guard. He was all league and obviously part of a speedy 1-2 punch for the Blazers. They have a pretty high-octane offense with him and the player of the year that we'll talk about in a second. And Miles, another guy, is really smart out there, knows what he's doing, and gets a lot of good things done. Final guy on the first team is Dirk Plackinger of WF West. He is a 6'4 senior forward. He kind of got its notoriety. He's one of the biggest dunkers in Washington. He gets up high and throws down hard. But according to Coach Chris White, he also had a lot of old school weapons as well. As the coach said, he mastered the lost art of the mid-range. So he's a player who can do exciting things, and he can do the basics.
I thought you were going to tell me the hook shot was coming back.
No, but you know, when I was in the fifth grade, one of my teammates in fifth grade told me he had invented the hook shot in 1966 or something. So I don't know. I always laugh when people bring up the hook shot.
Yeah.
Anyway, on the second team, real quick, Andrew Collins of Tumwater, Soren Dahlin of WF West, their big guy, Joshua Hardy of Yelm, who was first team last year and had another good season, but just didn't, in our opinion, did not rise over the other five guys. Caden Roth from Olympia and Chucky Thompson from Shelton kind of flew under the radar because their team wasn't stellar, but he's been good for a few years. And now we get, of course, to the moment we've all been waiting for, and not going to come as a surprise to people who've heard the other names and know who's not going to be the player of the year. And of course, it's Brooklyn Hicks, who's the 6'4 junior guard from Timberline, who really kind of separated himself. He earned his second consecutive 3A South Sound Conference MVP honor. 24 points, 10 rebounds, which, yes, that's averaging a double-double. Three assists, two steals. A lot of recruiting interest in Brooklyn. He's got offers from about a dozen schools, including Washington, Washington State, and Oregon State. So he will be somebody that you'll probably be seeing on television for a few years to come. And, of course, next year the Blazers hope that with him and Miles Gursky, they can, and some other guys, they can rise past their first round exit at State this year.
All right. That is going to be a lot of fun. Well, here's a guy that we have heard from, I think, three shows in a row.
A couple of times, yeah.
Alan Thomas is Brooklyn's coach.
When was the first time that you were aware of him as a basketball player?
I actually noticed him at an AAU tournament, and there was a few kids that were going to end up going to Timberline. And so I was just kind of checking them out, and he was really impressive. He was quicker than most of the kids. As he kind of got into that, you know, the middle of his freshman year, we actually didn't start off very well. We went 0-10, and I actually remember my assistant coach and I took him to a Capitol game and just kind of picked his brain about why he thinks we're struggling. You know, he didn't really know. You know, we lost a lot of close games early on. And then I just said, you know what, I think we need to put the ball in your hands a little bit more and make you point guard. And so he was all for it. And after that decision, he led us to a win of the state game after starting 0-10. And I knew then how special he was.
What did it take for you guys to see that you're struggling, and then you and your assistants make that decision to give the ball to a freshman and have him run the show? What had you seen from him in those 10 losses that brought you to do that?
That he didn't have the ball enough in his hands. He needs to make decisions. He needs to, you know, either score it or make a play for somebody else. And he was good enough to do that, you know. And so I just kept reminding him that if this isn't all on you, you know, you have your team, you have your coaches, we believe in you. And, you know, he did the rest. His athleticism is incredible. For him to be able to, you know, lead the league in scoring and be first or second in rebounding shows how much he understands the importance of him, you know, banging inside and starting the break. So his ability to start the break from the rebound is amazing as well.
How much better can he get?
Oh, man. I think he has already started dialing in on perfecting his jump shot and taking more. I think that state experience, he realized how important defense is and that you just can't outscore people. And so I think that once he improves that side of it, it's going to take him to a whole nother level. And it actually might put him in transition a little bit more. And then once the game becomes half court and either guys try to go zone or they try to pack it in to protect the paint from him driving, if he can knock down shots from the outside, watch out.
That's about it. Thanks for taking the time.
All right, buddy. All right. Take care.
Alan Thomas talking about the all-area boys high school basketball player of the year. Here's Timberline's Brooklyn Hicks.
When did you yourself first start paying attention to Timberline basketball?
My brother attended Timberline, so it's always been a mind of going to Timberline. So it's definitely been my only option for high school.
How old were you when you moved to the state?
Third grade.
Before you got to Timberline, before you were a freshman, did you ever go to their games?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What did you think when you first saw your brother playing and those guys playing? Did you realize you had a good chance to be very good at that level?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've always been confident about my skill and about what level I'm going to play at next. So definitely in middle school, I was always preparing to play for high school. So it was definitely something I was looking forward to doing and playing. And playing on varsity as a freshman was my goal.
Okay, and so get on varsity as a freshman. You guys start out with 10 straight losses. And then Alan was telling how coaches took you to a Capital game, I guess, and they were telling you that they wanted you to be more of the focal point and so forth. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I remember that pretty clear with him and Coach Brown.
And what did you think at the time? What was your reaction to them saying that?
At the time, I definitely thought we needed a change because what was happening wasn't really working. So I wasn't really sure if I was ready as a freshman for that change. I knew it was going to come later down the road and eventually. I've kind of always been the leader on all of my teams I played on. But I definitely wasn't expecting a freshman year, but I feel like I definitely took the role pretty well, and I think we finished the season one game away from the dome.
What has been your personal focus when you think about basketball? I've got to get better. What have you been working on the last couple of years to rise up even and become even better?
Yeah, I feel like for me in the last couple of years, I've just really tried to perfect my game. I'm going into college in a year, so that's the highest level or one of the highest levels you play at. So I've just been trying to perfect every little thing I do.
As far as this year, you know, you made it to the dome. That's not bad, but I think probably you guys thought you could do a little bit better. What does coming up short this year, what did it teach the team? And have you guys made any kind of a commitment as a group to go farther next year?
Yeah, for sure. It definitely showed that what we did this year wasn't enough, so we got to do more. And I think we all really realized that after we lost that game.
Are guys already back in the gym? Are you already working on stuff?
A lot of our kids are 2-3 sport athletes, so it's kind of hard. But I've been there.
But yeah.
A lot of our kids are doing track or soccer right now or some others. Everybody on the team is doing something right now.
Now, as far as your recruiting, I know there's a ton of schools that are interested and got a lot of offers. What's going to make the difference when you finally do make a decision?
Definitely going to be the relationship between me and the coaching staff. I feel like that's the biggest thing. You have to have a strong relationship because they're the people that put you in the game.
Okay, one only other real thing is Alan had mentioned kind of interesting. He said that when you were a kid, you did some modeling, and he thinks that improved your confidence. Do you think that's true?
he tells people that. That's funny. Yeah, I mean, I did a little bit of like Nike and Adidas modeling in my elementary school and middle school days, but it definitely gave me a little bit of a confidence boost, but I don't know how much it carried to the court.
All right, well, thanks for taking the time.
Yep, thank you.
All right, that is Brooklyn Hicks, the boys' all-area high school basketball player of the year right there. And a little aside about the modeling, Dave, it wasn't me. Go ahead.
It sounds to me like Alan's a little bit more impressed by it than Brooklyn himself was.
Which is funny, and in this case, it's probably about the same. But a guy named Jim Valley, who was one of the Paul Revere and the Raiders, later in his career, created the Rainbow Planet Workshop. So it was a band of professional musicians. And in junior high, my brother became one of their front all junior high age singers, maybe some elementary, that kind of stuff. And he is in front of crowds, backed by a big professional band and belting out Rockin' Robin and those kind of songs. And I think it changed his outlook on himself. So I think Alan Thomas has a little something right on that.
He might be, and that, you know, I was telling Brooklyn in that same conversation that there was a girl when my daughter was playing. There was a girl up at Mount Rainier High School by the name of Brittany McPhee that ended up playing at Stanford. So she was definitely a serious basketball player. But she was a model and would actually go back to New York City. She was signed with one of the major agencies, and she would go back there as a 13 through 15 year old and do pretty serious advertising type stuff, and then. I think in the end, basketball held sway, and she just went that direction. But yeah, I mean, I think sometimes that's true. Anytime anybody gets out in front of an audience, it does flop over to whatever else they do that's out in front of an audience. If that makes any sense.
Yep.
Hey, I wanted to, I know we're going a little bit over here, but I wanted to make up for something I left out. I did not mention the boys coach of the year, which I should have. And that is John Kiley of Olympia for the second straight year. They finished 26-6, and they finished third in a really competitive 4A state tournament, which was the highest of any of the local teams. So John Kiley was the coach of the year.
Well earned. I'm glad we didn't miss that. I've been talking about the nominations being open for the 2022 Sports Awards. The Olympia and Beyond Sports Commission is a division of Experience Olympia and Beyond, so they're trying to bring things into Thurston County, and they're presenting the 5th annual Sports Awards to recognize local athletes, coaches, and game changers in the community. So you can nominate somebody. We've got awards, a College Sports Star of the Year. There's a men's and a women's. Also High School Sports Star of the Year. Again, good for one for girls, one for boys. We got a Contributor of the Year. Also a Sports Moment of the Year. I thought that was interesting. Nominees can be a team or an individual that's achieved some kind of recognition for a sports moment that occurred in the last year. And maybe some kind of inspiring story in your nomination there. Also, Thurston County sports legend, somebody who's at least 5 years removed from high school. Oh, that's me, who resided. Well, I didn't reside in Thurston County or do sports in Thurston County. Anyway, it's all open till June 30th and can be submitted online. And then we'll let you know about when the banquet and all that is going to happen. We believe like November 3rd, I think, is what it's scheduled for. We're going to get the link up on the Baseline's webpage and information about it. So, again, the Olympia and Beyond Sports Commission Sports Awards for 2022. If you've got somebody to nominate, do that. Dave, did we miss anything today? There was a lot.
No, we probably did. There's so many spring sports. There was probably something that happened in one of them this week. But all we can do is continue to try to track down everything that happened and come back on Friday mornings and spill it all out for the people. And I think we did a pretty good job of that. So.
All right. There we go. And, I do know one thing we could use some help on. Maybe if you know a little bit about golf, that tennis, they're kind of hiding from us a little bit. But if you've got some information on it, send us an email or let us know in some way. Anyway, thank you for joining us. The show is brought to you in part by a passion for high school sports, but mostly it's brought to you by our sponsors. So do us a favor and please support them. Thanks again for listening. Thanks to our executive producer, Kevin the Brit Huffer. And if you missed anything, you can find the podcast on KGYFM.com. Join us next Friday morning at 8 o'clock. For the Baseline right now, the weekday workday kickoff on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.